From dumpster fire to a fire of Thanksgiving, that's my title. Several times I've heard commercials, talk show hosts, Hollywood personalities refer to 2020 as a dumpster fire. The LA Law program I listened to as a podcast declared in April 2020, well, it's a good thing that things are starting to get back to normal. Nope, the dumpster's still burning. And how do we get from it to Thanksgiving? From a dumpster fire to a fire of thanks. Luther is good here. He says things like, one who does not see such invisible things, but sees only the present, cannot praise God except in good times. And learn to trust God for some other reason than you have enough, are satisfied, and your belly is well provided for. Trust based on that is not trust in God, but rather in wealth and gifts which have been received. Finally, let no one imagine himself to have a favorable God because he showers him with good. Luther looks at the dumpster fire and still says thanks. How? Well, say grace before thanks. We say, let's say grace, or ask our kid, did you say grace? We all know that refers to the prayer before the meal, where we ask God to bless this food to our nourishment and health. We are all under the mistaken impression that if the FDA says something is nutritious and helpful, it automatically is to us. If it's in the proper place in the nutritional pyramid, well, then we're good. Nope. To paraphrase Psalm 127, unless the Lord blesses the food, it's useless for you to watch your diet. As a 19th century work on the catechism says, he who goes to the table without prayer goes away without the blessing of God, and his meat and drink may prove the means of his death. Had he sanctified them with prayer, they would have ministered to the support of his bodily life. Luther said that when you say, bless us and your gifts as a table prayer, the blessing we sought not only for the person, but for the food as well. Make that food useful to God to work in us. Say grace. Our text says grace five times. Look at your insert. Verse 13 has forgiving each other as the Lord forgave you. Forgive in both cases are forms of the Greek word verb charizomai. Then in verse 15, we have be thankful. That's the Greek word eucharistos. That's an adjective from charizomai. Then in verse 17, we have whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks. First, this isn't a command, but modifies how we are to do everything. Second, giving thanks is again the verb eucharisteo. Then look back at verse 16. It describes worshiping with gratitude in your heart toward God. Gratitude is the noun charis. And it has the article there, te charis. It's the grace that's been described in the preceding and in the following verses. Say grace indeed. See, gracing first means forgiving in our text, then it means thanking. Our gracing of one another is based on what the Lord has done for us. We are to forgive as we are charizomai. We are to grace just as the Lord forgave, literally, graced us. Well, how did the Lord forgive? Did he say, repent, change, do better, then I'll forgive you? Or be sorry more, be sorry enough, then I'll forgive you? What does Romans 5 say? In verse 8, it says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And as if that weren't not enough of an over-the-moon shot, verse 10 says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Really, verses 8 and 10 of Romans 5 are trying to help us wrap our hearts around the astounding verse 6, which says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We, in fact, were unforgivable when God in Christ forgave us. When we speak of forgiving, of gracing each other, just as the Lord did us, all talk of the person deserving it, being sorry, making up for their sins, repaying us, well, that can't be in view. God in Christ didn't look at us, but at his Son, who was holy and perfect in every way. And when the subject of our justly deserving temporal and eternal punishment came up, well, the object was the holy, perfect Son of God. And God poured out all his wrath, all his hatred of sin, all of his anger on him once and for all. Such grace, such forgiveness is worldwide. And that leads to the Lord providing for the world. He says he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. This is part of our official confession of faith. Quote, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. And then in our explanation to the first article of the Creed, we say our thanksgiving comes from his forgiving, or as Paul calls it, gracing us. We say, all this, God's providing and protecting, all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise him. This illustrates, say grace before thanks. But it's too soon to go there. We can go one better. Verse 13 could be translated, forbearing one another and forgiving yourself. Well, don't go down the garden path of you need to forgive yourself before you can forgive anyone else, or worse, before God can forgive you. That's entirely too much of you in forgiving yourself. But because it can indeed be translated as forgiving or gracing yourself, and then immediately says, just as the Lord forgave or graced you, the Lord is being emphatic about his grace and forgiveness towards you. It's far more than the devil, the world, or your own flesh can ever imagine. We watched the dumpster fire of the world burn for over a year and a half. Well, now look at the warm, cheering fire where your sins were all burned up. We could stop here, but there's more to saying grace before thanks. The practice of returning thanks at the end of the meal, that's a good practice to be restored. We did it as a family in devotions after supper. Some folks combine the grace with the thanks, saying thanks immediately following grace. The point remains, grace before thanks. You know how I like that warp drive image from sci-fi? Well, here in this text, we jump from grace to thanks, and then we jump to a whole nother level, namely the Lord's Supper. Psalm 116 connects gratitude and receiving the cup of salvation. How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The verb eucharisteo, thanksgiving, that's in our text, that's also found in connection with the Lord's Supper in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul. There's a warp jump from a thankful, grace-filled, forgiven heart today to the Lord's Supper 2,000 years earlier. Now make the leap forward with Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond. We'll start doing this when Advent begins Sunday. We'll say as part of the Thanksgiving then, 1 Corinthians 11:26, for whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The day of thanks we celebrate today reaches back to the body and blood Jesus gave and shed for us before the Father in eternity, and on a Friday we call good. And it reaches forward till time and space are swallowed up by eternity and beyond. And all that is rooted in the divine service. Look at the text. Paul sees the giving of thanks, the Eucharisteo, as taking place in the divine service. He says, be thankful, and that's immediately followed by, go to church. Verse 15 ends with, and be thankful, and then verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude, literally with the grace, in your hearts to God. So where on earth but here do we teach and admonish each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? And this takes place, says Paul, with the grace in your hearts. There's a fire of grace, there's a fire of forgiveness, there's a fire of thanksgiving lit here by God for sinners such as us. For in here we can't see or even smell the dystopian dumpster fire lit by those who thumb their noses at God's word about life, marriage, sin, and grace. But Paul has still got more than this. There's an all connected to your Eucharisteo, to your thanksgiving in verse 17. And the literal Greek really shows you how all-encompassing it is. He says, and all things, whatever you should do in word or in work, always in the name of the Lord, Eucharisteo, to God the Father through him. As I said earlier, do is the main verb here. Eucharisteo, that's the participle. That means thanksgiving is not the main verb. It's a present tense participle, meaning it's always going on with all, with whatever, with always what you do. Holy Communion is called the Eucharist based on thanksgiving that breaks forth from sinners who've been forgiven, who've been fed the body and who've been fed body and soul by the body and blood of their God. The point in verse 17 is the body and blood of Jesus you eat and drink here always goes with you out there among dumpster fires and all. His person and work here lights a fire of grace, a fire of thanks, a fire of forgiveness that burns all the time wherever you go. But if all you can see and smell is the dumpster fires of this fallen world, a passing away thing is eclipsing an eternal thing. Solomon says this rather over-the-top thing. He says, God has put eternity in their hearts. Now, you can feel that, can't you? You've been created for more than this. Even the times in your life when there are no dumpsters burning, you can dream, you can see, you can sense something beyond this space and time, something more than this. You glimpse it in the baptismal font that washes to the point of a rebirthing and regenerating by the Holy Spirit into a totally new creation. You sense it as you eat the body of God as bread and drink the blood of God as wine, that you've been reborn for better things than these. Indeed, since God says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that he has set eternity in our hearts, don't let anything in time eclipse eternity. But before he tells us that he has set eternity in our hearts, he says he has made everything beautiful in its time. With God, glad confidence in that, we can say thanks even when all we see are dumpster fires. Indeed, it is at these times that we can know that our thanks is born from God rather than from things, from beyond this world, not from this world, and that out of his grace has come our thanks. Amen.